Hey everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by SoundCloud Studios and brought to you by our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international well-ring author, Mia Muscles, The Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman who's a multi-talented singer-songwriter who grew up in Virginia and now living in beautiful downtown Atlanta. He began his career at an early age, fascinated by his grandmother's record collection. We'll find out what records she collected, and nearly 19,000 followers on Spotify, nearly 5,000 monthly listeners, 250,000 streams, according to what's behind him. He'll tell more about that. Over 750 subscribers on YouTube, averaging 30K streams and plays and everything else. And he's also got a new song, which is called That Good Love. And of course, I lied as well. He's got a lot of great experience. It's My Will, Caught in the Act, The Live Experience, Where Do I Begin, and more. Live, ladies and gentlemen, at Plus Dues in beautiful downtown Atlanta, the multi-talented singer-songwriter who grew up in Virginia, now about to come to success in Atlanta with That Good Love. Ladies and gentlemen, the multi-talented Will Preston. Will, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you. So glad to be here. And as you were going through all of that, you're educating me as well. So I'm glad to hear those stats as you pull them out.
Well, we're just talking sports early as well, too, with all the stats out there. And, stats are vital and everything else, not important. Of course, I saw in the picture behind you as well, too, for our viewers, you had 250,000 streams. And maybe you can just point out to that before we start. So, yeah, that's a heck of a number.
And I got that plaque to commemorate that. And that was probably, I don't know, more than a year ago. So that particular song has streamed a lot more than that now, but very proud of that song. It was from my last studio project. That song was called Never Knew Love, did really well. And so very proud of that streaming activity for that. But we're a lot more now. So maybe there'll be another plaque replacing that eventually, but very proud of that.
And next thing you know, the number will rise and rise by the time this is over, and I'm sure it's going to keep counting and counting. It'll probably break the counter, or the computer breaks or whatever. So we'll I'm sure we'll get all that too. You're a multi-talented singer-songwriter who grew up in Virginia, and now you're living in Atlanta. You began a career at an early age, fascinated by your grandmother's record collection. You nearly 19,000 followers on Spotify, nearly 5,000 monthly listeners, over 750 subscribers on YouTube, averaging 30,000 plays, and you've had It's My Will, The Live Experience, Caught in the Act, Where Do I Begin, Hashtag Reacquainted, and you've got That Good Love, and of course, I Lie. We'll talk about those. And before getting all that, Will, tell us how you first got started.
Well, so, I think it's one of those things where I always think, how did I get started? Well, if we talk about the musical gift, I guess that was just always there. We don't always act on our talents and gifts, but I'm thankful that I did tap into that. I would say, though, from a professional standpoint, I did my first true studio recording when I was in college. And so I was about 19 years old at that time when I did my first official recording. Prior to that, I was writing and recording into little cassette players. And
I remember those, the handheld ones. We had those big ones where you had to press record and play and everything.
And play at the same time. And, some of them, if I had an old tape that I was using, I had to, I don't know how old school you remember, but if the little tab in the top was gone, you had to put a piece of like a piece of tissue or something in it so that the record player would have, so that the recorder would actually record. So many crazy things back then. I remember using Maxwell tapes. But
was my favorite. It had that, what was it, that chrome, you had that gold. Yes. And I think you had all these levels and everything. I collected those. And of course, you also had cassette players that recorded in chrome. You paid $1,000 for a cassette deck. Those are so
And for some reason, I felt like if I was using Maxwell, I was doing something. That was the big thing. I don't know why Maxwell was so good, but Maxwell was supposed to be the big thing.
And of course, it's influenced by that commercial. It's is it Maxwell? Is it live or is it? No, I was thinking of Memorex. That was another one. Is it live or
Memorex?
That was another one that I bought those cassettes a lot too. And also, you had the Maxwell where the guy gets blown away and everything like that. But we bought all kinds of cassettes, TDK, and I think there was also I'm trying to think of another top name cassette, but boy,
I used to come three to a pack. Some you could get economy buys, you can get 12 in a set. But those Maxwells only came two or three at a set. So, they were They were making the money back then.
Oh, I remember one. Scotch. That was the other one. Scotch. It was like the inventor of the tape with the reel to reel and everything like
yes.
that. So it's like, in fact, I'm thinking right now, as soon as we get done, I'm thinking about going to buy a tape deck as well, too. I still have a record player and still a CD player. And, you know, I kind of wish, you know, to bring back the vinyl, too. So that is going to be, that's obviously the next best thing.
Well, you know, vinyl is still a big thing for collectors. You know, vinyl is a big thing. I have a good friend who's a DJ and producer, and he runs a very successful vinyl business online. And so, you know, it's vinyl seems to be the thing. It's so expensive to press vinyl these days. But, you know, you have those diehard collectors out there who really want the stuff from back in the day and those rare finds. And you can really get a lot of money for those items.
Oh, of course. And of course, too, it's like not just eBay, Amazon or anything like that. You can go to your local record shop and still find some. And I still have my record collection from, like, you know, way back in the day. I'm probably giving away my age. And of course, you look at the vinyl as well, too. It's like the cover art, even those double albums, you look at the liners, you look at the pictures, and then you have the labels, you just watch it spin, and they got so creative. And and I still have some, and I've got one which is a Peter Gabriel album with the Melting Face, sold 100,000 on Mercury, and somebody's like, you know, I can sell that. I'm like, no. I'm keeping that one, and I'm gonna keep it. Yeah, that's right. So if you got something that you're tempted to sell, just don't.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my god!
Try to hold on to them and protect them, and don't scratch them. And you know, I broke one of mine last year. It was actually one of my grandmother's from that collection. And
oh, I was just going to ask you about that. Was it like the 78s made of acetate? That really hard vinyl. Was that one of them?
I have those too. Actually, but hers were mostly, I guess, the more traditional ones from the 60s, 70s. Maybe some late 50s things. Those were the really hard ones, but mostly 60s and 70s. It was in the era of Aretha Franklin was her favorite.
Oh, the Motown era. Yes. The Motown
era. She had every Aretha Franklin album known to man. Smokey Robinson, she loved. Al Green, she loved.
Oh, Al Green's my fave.
The Ohio Players. She had some Dionne work in there. She had, but Aretha was hands down her absolute favorite. And so, you know, it's hard to believe really when you look back at, you know, artists today, we don't record at quite the same volume that they did back then. I mean, Aretha Franklin has, I don't know, it's like 30, 40 records that my grandmother has, you know, and that was just during the record era. So, you know, even after that, it was even more when she started doing CDs and tapes and, you know, things of that nature. So, a very vast collection that was just, you know, just kind of influential and instrumental in developing my curiosity and love for music. And it was just exciting to be able to flip through all of those different items throughout her catalog. I mean, and she had so many that even to this day, I haven't listened to all of the records. It's just so many, but there are a lot of influences in there.
Mm-hmm. And do you think today's vinyl compares to the vinyl that was pressed in the past? Like you're seeing the today's vinyls reissues and all that. I mean, God, the way, $20-$30 you're finding at Target, Walmart, and some of the other places. Do you think the quality of that vinyl is just as good or better, or maybe so-and-so compared to the vinyl we bought in the past, 60s, 70s, 80s, even the 50s, and, oh, good Lord, 40s and 30s.
I think that people could make an argument today that, you know, technology has advanced, and so you might get a clearer, crisper sound. But I do think something is missing from the warmth of the vinyl from the past. I mean, you know, it was just that a warmer feeling, a warmer sonic sound, even the little crackling in the pops, you know, today.
Oh, I remember that. And
yeah,
of course, you hit the needle on the record and like that, and then just spin.
Right.
Or you get the skips and all that stuff like that, or just jump across. Yeah.
So I guess the machinery and the manufacturing process has changed today because you lose a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia for that out there. So I miss those aspects of vinyl pressing. But thankfully, I still have, you know, all of those old ones to go back to. But now when they digitally remaster and all those things, they kind of get rid of all those little nuances that, you know, may have been annoying back then. Who knows? But it just kind of makes it more special for us today when looking back.
And of course, it's more crude, more realistic, and everything like that. And of course, think about old time radio. It's like you never have the cough button, swear button, sneezes, everything. It's like, you know, whatever happened, it was always this. You know, somebody walked in a room, a cat got in, a mouse creeped. It's like
it was there.
It was out there. Yeah, yeah. No tape, no edits or anything like that. It was just out there. You're right. Like TV too.
And the great, Oh, you're right. And that's the great thing about music back then, because they got to a point where, you know, of course, the artists came in and they were ready to roll and they were going to deliver perfection. And I'm sure they did several takes. But it got to a point where, you know, hey, that was an accident, but we're leaving it on the record. It became a part of the record. It sounded good. Who cares if that note was slightly off or if we heard a slight something in the background? You know, they would just come in the studio. They would lay it down. It wasn't a whole lot of stop, do it again, do it 50 times, take the best take. You know, they ran the song through, and that was a great thing about it. Mm-hmm. So you had real professionals.
Right, and also, too, I was watching a special about Motown as well, too, where you had the drummer that would just, you know, he would just go with the beat while I was reading a magazine at the same time, and it's like, we know we're doing everything, but I thought that was a great one, too, and some of the nuances that you actually had some drummers in there just, like, you know, reading something and just going like this, and he's like I really did that? And it's like, you sound great. It's like, I did that?
Exactly. They had their own thing going.
You got it. And who were some of your other favorites growing up besides what your grandmother listened to?
Yeah, so I liked, I always enjoyed singers who, I didn't really realize my appreciation for songwriters until later. So for me, what really drew me in initially was always the voice. So I like nice, crisp, clean voices. Like I said, I was always a fan of Gladys Knight. I like Lionel Richie. But those were some of the older people, I guess you would call it, in my time of growing up. But when I came along, it was voices like Luther Vandross and, of course, Whitney Houston and, you know, people who just had those nice voices and could command a stage with their presence alone. It wasn't a whole lot of theatrics and entertainment on the stage beyond
or
their voice.
Auto-tune. That's another one which really drove me nuts is auto-tune. Oh, my gosh. That's like the music industry.
Exactly. And so then, you know, so that was BB and CC Winans, stuff like that was really prevalent when I was growing up. And when I started to become a teenager, I would like the more current artists, of course, like Usher and who was, you know, basically my age, and Alicia Keys. And I like groups like Jodeci and Boyz II Men. And so really that R&B, I really enjoyed Michael Bublé. I've always been a fan of his, Harry Connick Jr., some of the other people. But just nice, clean, smooth voices just was always appealing to me.
Mm-hmm. And you've got one yourself as well, too. You've got That Good Love, Of Course I Lied, It's My Will, The Live Experience, Caught in the Act. We'll talk more about that with the amazing, multi-talented singer-songwriter Will Preston. But first, you listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by SonicWeb Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. SonicWeb Studios is the answer. SonicWeb Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show. Get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios. Take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout-out to our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson Zia. Available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those who love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson Zia has garnered great reviews and Eve Levin and George by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassie, Forbes, Riley, M&M's. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on our 40 podcast platforms. Heard 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, also Apple Music, Odyssey, Podbean, Pandora. Subscribe on BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and more. Take us with you on any mobile device. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Weiner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MeAndMelsonZia for great books like Missing Once and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MeAndMelsonZia. Check it out today and support the Mike Weiner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and the MikeWeinerShow.com. We heard the multi-talented singer-songwriter who grew up in Virginia, now in Atlanta, Will Preston here on the Mike Weiner Show. And before we talk about some of your music with That Good Love, Of Course I Lied, It's My Will, and more, tell us about the journey going from Virginia over to Atlanta.
Yeah, so it was, I was ready for the city, Mike. I was, I grew up.
And you were born with it. Yeah, Falcons, Braves, Hawks all across the board. You're built.
I was ready for the city. It represented a change. It represented something new. I grew up in southwestern Virginia, but I spent a lot of time in Northern Virginia, which was right outside of D.C. That's where I went to undergraduate college there, George Mason University. I majored in finance. I had a job there with MCI WorldCom at the time and America Online also. And some things developed there, and it was an opportunity to relocate to Atlanta. This was before music was even, I think I had actually just started recording my first project while living in Virginia, but ultimately it was complete once I transitioned to Atlanta. But I was ready for, Atlanta just represented something new and exciting. And while I had Washington, D.C. right there and was frequented being in that city, Atlanta just meant something different. And it was already starting to rumble as the new Motown, so to speak, and it even just became bigger. It just became like the Hollywood of the South. It began to be coined, and I just made that transition. So it was just a wonderful move. It just represented something new in life, and it was exciting. And, you know, I had a lot going on, whether I was choosing to, you know, go down the road of financial analysis that I was doing, or if I wanted to pursue music. It just had more opportunities available to me to make that transition.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you moved to Atlanta a while back. And was it somebody that you were connected to Atlanta, or you just walked in and say, hey, I'm here? You know, some people are like that. And some people, you know, it, you know, job transfer.
It was very much like that. No, it was very much like that, because the job transfer came about because of my decision to leave. I decided that I wanted to go. So it was really, you know, almost sight unseen to come down, you know, a weekend or two before actually officially declaring, you know, that there would be a move, you know. So it wasn't anything that was planned out, orchestrated. It was just one of those whimsical things. And, you know, it was great to be able to do it at that point in life. Today, you know, I probably wouldn't make such a whimsical leap, probably, but, you know, that's the great thing about being young, and the great thing about, you know, having dreams and goals and, you know, being fascinated with things. I mean, you do things that you might not do as you get a little older. You're a little less, you know, you're more risk tolerant when you're younger. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And of course, you took the risk. You cranked out some great music. You had It's My Will, The Live Experience, Caught in the Act, Where Do I Begin, and Hashtag Reacquainted. You have some singles out there like Candy Coated Raindrops. And we did talk about Never Knew Love getting 250,000 streams. And this time of year, play it and tell us more about those and what inspired you to write them.
Yeah, so you go back to, let's see, you name, let me see, pick one out of it. Candy Coated Raindrops is actually a song.
I was just going to say that. It's like, I'm thinking about candy right now, so.
Candy Coated Raindrops was a song that very early on connected with people. It's probably been streamed in more parts of the world than any of my songs, although some have been surpassed it in terms of streams. When I released Candy Coated Raindrops, I mean, I had feedback from everywhere in the world, and it just really felt good. It just really felt great, because that was probably until Never Knew Love, I guess, came along. Candy Coated Raindrops was probably my biggest song to date. And it's just still a song that, even after all these years, it's the song that just keeps on giving. It's like people always want to hear it. People always want to stream it. And so I'm grateful for that. I think if we talk about how it came about, in the earlier years, I was just, you know, I was just trying to write about love. I was just trying to really write about, and at that point in time, it was really about all of the wonderful things about love. Now I write about love, and I've come to realize that love is multifaceted, and you have to write about, you know, all aspects of it. But at that point in time, you know, it was really all about, you know, you're the apple of my eye, you're my sunshine, you make my day, you know, all those things. So the song was really, you know, expressing that I found someone basically that I never knew that I could find, someone that I never knew would make me feel this way. And although I'm crying, it's not, I don't even understand, but it's not tears of pain, it's total tears of joy. I can't believe these tears are falling from my eye, but, you know, basically someone came along and she just kind of, you know, changed my whole life. That's really what that song captures for the listener. And so it could be a beautiful wedding song or just a love song in general. So it's one of those songs that people connect with the melody, they connect with the lyrics, and they really, really do enjoy that song.
Mm-hmm. Also, and
it's one of my favorites.
Coincide with Never Knew Love. You already talked about that. If you want to keep talking about that, that's fine. And this time of year, and play it as well. So you got some good music out there. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, this time of year, I am so proud of this time of year. And I was so grateful to have a friend of mine by the name of Vincent Powell. He was an American Idol contestant and did really well in American Idol. Ended up being a part of their touring lineup for the season he was on. But we met before he was even a part of American Idol, and we always talked about doing music together. We always talked about doing a song. So this was a song that I wrote as a Christmas song. And it really basically talks about, you know, how Christmas, that time of year is always wonderful. It's always magical. But when I think back on it, my childhood, those Christmas years were really the best. And I talk about, you know, how, you know, you had the gathering of family and, you know, you had fun. And then there were people who cut up. But you look as you transition through the years and some of those family members are no longer with you. And so it becomes, while it's still a joyous time of year, it becomes bittersweet at times because, you know, some of those people are no longer here with you. And so I look back and as I was writing that song, the whole premise was, you know, it's still a great time of year. But I will always regard those years of my growing years as probably the best at that time because all of those people, you know, were still here with us. And, you know, it was just special. Family and friends, it was just a special time.
Mm-hmm. And certainly special as well, too. You also had some special releases. It's My Will, Caught in the Act, The Live Experience, Where I Begin. I don't like this one. Hashtag Reacquainted.
Yeah, so Reacquainted, that name came... because I had been gone from music for a little while. I was between projects. So I did It's My Will. And it was a good probably 6 or 7 years. Someone will fact check us on this, but it was a good 6 or 7 years between that span.
Fact checkers, we trust you or you trust us. Don't worry about fact checkers.
At any rate, it was some time between those years. And people were always asking, when are you going to do another project? When are you going to release more money, more music? When are you going to, you know, get more things out there, get more things to us to enjoy? And so I finally did that. And so I felt it was a moment for me to get reacquainted with all of those fans and supporters who had been with me since the beginning. They had been with me through It's My Will and Caught in the Act. And so now I was getting reacquainted again. And my promise at that time was, you know, I'm back and I'm not going to be gone for nearly as long ever again. And so I've tried to be, you know, a lot more consistent since then. And it's, but that's really what Reacquainted was. It's truly, and it felt good. I mean, it just really felt great. Number one, to have people, you know, wanting to hear from you. I always know, and I say on this journey, that it was never about people. You know, music can be cathartic. It can be something that you write for release and your own mental release and things of that nature. And so I never knew that my music would necessarily connect with so many people. You know, I just didn't think about it in that way. But what I did know was that, well, you know, if I was going to take the time and, do a studio recording and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to, you know, release it at least on a platform that people could enjoy. But I had no idea that people would really enjoy it to an extent where they would, you know, be waiting on me to do something else and to do something else and, you know, request to collaborate and to write with, you know, so all of that was, it was interesting. It was new and it was exciting. So I was glad to get back in the throes of things with Reacquainted. And even subsequently after that, when I did Where Do I Begin, it was just, it just feels good to, you know, to have people waiting on your next thing, you know?
Right. It's like keep them in suspense. Yeah. Meantime, you can check this out, check that out.
Right.
And,
right.
Everything like that. And of course, you know, of course you have these songs out there. And what else do you base your lyrics on?
So I base my lyrics on a lot of things. You know, a lot of things can be autobiographical, but when you talk about love, and it's so multifaceted, as I said before, you can draw inspiration from anything. You know, you can draw inspiration from people who are close to you and things that they go through that are wonderful, but also things that they go through that are challenging. You can just look around in the world and see things that go on in relationships today. So it doesn't take much to inspire me to write. I can write. I've written so many songs that have never been released just because everything can truly be a song, you know, and it's one of those things, if you really take the energy and time to sit down and focus on it, you can make, it comes to me like that. I can make a song. And so I'm inspired by a lot of different things. But again, like I said, I've grown, my writing has really grown to a point where I'm not always just seeking to write about fluff. You know, I realize that, you know, people go through different phases in relationships. And so to me, I feel my responsibility as a writer is to make sure that I try to capture, you know, all of these different, or at least some of these different points in love. And that really led me to writing the song, Of Course I Lied. And I remember having conversations with people about that song, and it's like, well, you know, is that something that people are going to want to receive from you? Is that because it was basically, of course I lied. You know, the premise is, you know, he had done something wrong, and she found out, and she's like, why didn't you tell me? Well, how could you hide it? And, you know, his whole thing is, of course I lied. Did you think I'd tell you the truth about the things, you know, I was doing to you? Is it better that you know, or should you just have left it alone? And did you ever think about how much hurt this would cause you if you did know? So of course I lied. I lied to protect you. Of course I lied for selfish reasons, but I lied. And you know, that's a very real thing in love. People go through that. Mm-hmm. People go through heartache and pain.
Mm-hmm. Or for protection as well too. Fear of hurt, fear of them getting hurt, protecting from family members and everything like that. Of course, it's not you, it's me. It takes on a different meaning when it comes to that. So.
Yeah. Right. And you're right. And so it's like, and so the thing in that song is, I always feel like there could be a part two, because there was no redemption in that song. There was no closure in that song. It's just kind of left as, yeah, I did. We don't know how the story ultimately unfolded. No one actually walked out the door that day. I mean, so it's one of those things that, again, though, I think I just really wanted to capture that sentiment. I wanted to capture that moment for people. And so, as I was saying, some people had asked, you know, especially as it pertained to females, because that's a large part of my fan base, you know, and they're used to me being, you know, this Mr. Suave, Mr. Loverman. And so it's like, you know, if you're talking about, you know, lying, how they, but when I tell you, Mike, it was just crazy that so many people wrote and said, this was my story, or I've been through this, or, you know, I can relate. Or even guys saying, you know, this is crazy, I've been in this situation. So it's a story that needed to be told, so that someone could latch onto it and maybe have some better ways of dealing with or even expressing it.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of songs are going through my mind right now, but before we talk about that good love with Will Preston, we'll get to that in just 1 minute. You listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by SoundCrab Studios, brought to you by official sponsor of The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's They're Missing. We'll be back with you, multi-talented Will Preston, of That Good Love, after this time. We're back in the multi-talented Will Preston here on the Mike Wagner Show. We talk about Of Course I Lied, It's My Will, Kenny Cota, Raindrops, and Going From Virginia to Atlanta, and more. And we got that song that's out there that's getting a buzz, That Good Love. Tell us more about that song and what inspired you to write it.
Yes, yeah, so very proud of this particular song. A gentleman by the name of Mr. Eric Seitz. So Eric Seitz is well known, whether you know the name or not. He has been responsible for so many amazing hits, and he did a lot of work with the late, great Aaliyah. But even so many more people, he's worked with Jay-Z, he's worked with Layla Hathaway, he's worked with a lot of people. And he also is a phenomenal percussionist. He is the full-time drummer for Miss Patti LaBelle. So,
nice.
You know, so we aligned via someone we both were working with on our promotions team, Mr. Jay Ross. He goes by Jay Ross, the boss of Soul Cravers Promotions. And Eric, I believe, had seen my work or something with Jay, and it asked about him, and Jay facilitated us really being connected. And then Eric and I started talking, and we started, you know, talking about collaborating. And, you know, he sent me some stuff to listen to, and I sent him some lyrics back, and we went back and forth for a while before deciding exactly what we were going to do. And That Good Love was a product, and it was, I'm just thrilled with the song. It was just a wonderful song. It was great also because, I've collaborated, but as a songwriter and as a vocal producer of my own, I'm so used to doing things my way, you know? I'm so used to shutting myself off in the studio and I'm doing it my way, and I'm doing the production, or I'm kind of telling someone else who's producing kind of, you know, what I want and what I'm intending
right,
for the sound. But Eric was... you know, Eric knew exactly what he wanted. I knew exactly what I wanted. And so it was one of those things that it was great to kind of get some
right,
direction.
The vibes
from him
were there. Right. Yeah.
The vibes were, yeah. And so what the result was really amazing. I was just really, really pleased with that. We actually did a couple of songs. The other one has not been released yet, but I anticipate that we'll definitely get more out there in the near future.
And certainly as well, we'll have to have you back with those songs as well, too. And speaking of other music, what are some of the other songs we haven't covered? And if you want to talk about some other songs, feel free to do so.
Yeah, I mean, on Where Do I Begin, we had some great songs on there. What I would consider probably one of the best songs I feel that I've ever written was a song called Phone Don't Ring. And this is really a song about getting over a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a dark song. It's kind of deep, but it really talks about moving on and how you're kind of just stuck in this place. And it talks about, you know, people really trying to get you out of this place where they want you to move on, but you just don't quite feel ready. And
right.
So you have someone who's interested in you. They're calling. You don't want to pick up the phone because you know that eventually you're going to get over this person that you're trying to get over, and you don't want to get over. So you don't want to have a conversation on the phone with the person on the other line. You acknowledge that they'll make you smile, they'll make you happy, they'll make you laugh. But when you hang up, you're kind of back in your despair, missing this other person. And so while you realize that there is sunshine on the other end of that phone call for you, if you just be diligent and persistent and pursue it, it's almost like in life sometimes we want to stay where we are, at least for a minute, and we want to have that moment to reflect. We want to have that moment to be in despair, so to speak. You know, it's kind of like self-sabotage. We do it to ourselves. But I just enjoyed writing that song because I just think it gives a wonderful perspective of how, you know, even when we have options at times, we choose to stay where we are just until we feel, you know, we're ready to say, okay, now it's time to move on. But the pain could have been gone a little sooner if we had just given in, but we don't always do that.
Right, that's exactly it, and it hits home for a lot of people. And where can we find all your music at, Will?
You can find me anywhere where fine music is sold, I always say, but I'm on Spotify, I'm on Apple, I'm on everything, literally everything, YouTube, of course, TikTok, Instagram, I'm very active on. My website is willpreston.com. Just do a Google search, you'll find me. there. All my music is available, and I'd love for you, those who aren't as familiar with me, to definitely get on this train. We're going places. I'm excited. You know, with every release, Mike, my following grows and grows and grows. I always say I've had like this slow burn. I didn't have like this explosive out the gate. Although I received a lot of love with my initial release, I just really feel like my, and I'm grateful that my career in music has just kind of progressed, and it just continues to blossom and blossom and blossom. And so to a lot of people, I'm a brand new artist. And that's a wonderful thing to me, because it just means that my music still has legs, it's walking in. And at this point, if you're just catching on, you have a whole back catalog of albums to go through, you know, to catch up with me with. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a good time to be on board.
And it is a wonderful thing as well, too. We're the amazing Will Preston with that Good Love and More here on the Mike Wagner Show. And just a few more things. What else we expect from you 2024 and beyond, Will?
Mike, I got some good stuff coming. So I have a new project that I'm in the midst of wrapping up now. I'm excited about that. So before too late in the year, you're going to have a new project from me, and hopefully I'll be back to talk about some things there. I am extremely excited about a new clothing line that I'm launching this year as well. Yeah, so that's this is the first time I've actually talked about it on air, but I'm very excited.
I want to see you wear those next time when they have you on your own clothing line. That's a great idea.
You will. And I was probably inspired to speak on it when I heard you talking about all your wonderful things that are available over there on Amazon. I'm going to go over there and check it out.
This just came up. Are you going to put on a hoodie like this here with your name on it? I mean, we can help you with that, or go shopping with a tote bag. And if you want to sleep on it, get something like this. It's like,
that is awesome.
That too.
Okay. Yeah, so I have that going on. And so right now I'm just in full scale record mode. I'm working on a show that's going to be a pretty big show here in Atlanta coming up this year. So we're in rehearsals for that right now. And it's going to, but really I'm trying to focus on getting this project wrapped up. I can't have too many distractions, because that just means prolonged time. This right. project is a little overdue according to my timeline. And so I want to get it wrapped up as soon as possible. But I'm so excited about it, because I feel it's a lot of good stuff.
And sounds like it too, Will. And who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
I take a little bit from a lot of people. If you're speaking musically, I take a little bit from a lot of people, and I kind of mix it to form my own sound so as to not to lean on too much where someone would draw heavy comparisons to me or someone else. But I think that I have a lot of different people mixed into my sound and my approach and my delivery. I will say, though, that, you know, what my inspiration is and what keeps me going from a non-musical perspective is just family, you know, a strong appreciation for those who are close to me and keep me grounded and, you know, keep me happy and keep me, you know, inspired to do what I do. You know, support means everything. And so it's just a wonderful thing to just have, you know, great people around you who can be along for the journey. And that's what my inspiration is.
And very important as well. What's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
I would say you have to be you. I think one of the things that has made me respected and appreciated by music lovers is the fact that I don't try to veer into anybody else's lane. I could easily chase trends. I could easily, you know, make my music bend and sound like, you know, someone else, but it would not be authentic. And so I would say that you can be authentic and relevant at the same time. And so don't try so hard to, you know, fit in. You know, I would always say create your own lane and others will probably follow you. So, you know, that's my biggest advice or greatest advice.
I think that's the best one out there as well, too. We encourage everybody to create their own. That's a really good one. We're here at the Melted Down Will Preston of That Good Love. Of course, I lied. It's my Will and More here on the Mike Wagner Show. Will, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'd love to have you back once again. What's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase or check out your music?
Absolutely. WillPreston.com. You can get me on Instagram, The Will Preston. I'm on Twitter, The Will, or X, I should say. The Will Preston, anywhere. But I definitely communicate well on Instagram. That's where I'm usually posting my latest news and information. So definitely link up with me, follow me. I communicate, I talk back, you know, all those things. So I just look forward to, you know, building further connections.
Certainly do as well. We're looking forward to it. Once again, Will, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely amazing. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'd love to have you back. Wish you all the best. And Will, you definitely have a great future. Have you?
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mike.